welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm here on my comfy couch with my cup of coffee. Oops! For those of you who don't know, maybe I should introduce myself. My name is Maggie Hart, and I'm here to spend an hour with all of my little cannolis. That's my pet name for all of you, because we're all cannolis, right? Or stroofalis. Hard and still sweet, but maybe a little crunchy on the outside. But on the inside, we're soft and sweet and creamy, and some of us might be extra sweet inside, like the chocolate chips, or a little bit nutty. Some of us might even have some candied fruit inside, colorful with somewhat of a hard texture. But once you broach the outer hardness, there's more of a tanginess to us. An old school, almost forgotten flavor, like an old soul would be. Isn't it funny how I can attribute human qualities to Italian food? That's one of my gifts. Stick around, and together we can discover more about each other. But seriously, cannoli and struffoli fit, if you think about it, because a lot of us have had to develop that somewhat of a tough outer shell, when in the inside we're really good people and we want the best for ourselves, our loved ones, our families, and the world in general. It's just that we've had to develop somewhat of a coarseness to us because we don't want the world to see the beauty inside of us, or maybe we've learned to shelter that, to protect it. And that's what makes us special. If we were just an everyday jelly donut, soft and gooey and sweet, easy to identify, people would most likely take advantage of us. Or at least we think they would. So we can show that soft side to others, but it's after they've gained and earned our trust. There are way too many pseudo-baked goods out there with artificial flavorings and colorings and super shiny packages with pretty colors, but once you unwrap them, what's inside? A cheap imitation version of a quality, delectable treat that's not only subpar and substandard in what we would like for ourselves, but seemingly mass-produced and cookie-cutter, an imitation of the real thing. It's bland in comparison, not only unpleasing to the palate, but sometimes downright offensive and completely undigestible. Some people are more like tiramisu. Soft, sweet, layered. There's a depth to them that with each subsequent layer, it evokes different tastes and smells that are utterly appealing to the senses. And while people are positively enthralled and obsessed with them, they haven't got that outer shell that protects them. So what happens as a result is they get sat on or thrown in the back seat of the car on the way home from the bakery, and relatively easily they're reduced to an unrecognizable mass of goo all over the inside of the packaging. And they're not able to recover from that. Parts of them get squeezed out all over the car seat and the interior of the car and all over the person's hands that was handling them. And while it may be possible to scrape them together and try and form somewhat of a semblance of what they used to be, it's impossible for them to ever restore their original beauty. And while they may taste the same, something in them has changed. They've become irreversibly altered. So that's why we're cannolis and struffalis. And if you ask me again, I'm going to tell you to refer back to the archives because they're readily available. I'm on YouTube, I'm on Rumble. The stations are supposed to have my archives up on the main page, but if they haven't done it, I can't do anything about it. And in some spots, like on the Vera Radio Network, I play my new shows Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock, and repeats of my show are aired throughout the week at 9 o'clock. Plus, I'm on a bunch of other platforms that I thank them for but can never remember, so you can just Google the Positude Podcast and find me lots of places. Before we go too much farther, I'm going to get into the question of the week, which is, if you could relive any holiday in your lifetime, what would it be and why? I picked that question because we're just coming out of Easter week, and however you chose to spend your holiday, I hope that it was a blessed, happy, event for you and your family. If nothing else, I hope you had some time to rest and relax and contemplate on how we got here and why we celebrated that holiday. Did you think about what it's truly meant to represent, or did you chase around bunnies and eggs, or did you just go fishing? Whatever you did, I hope that it was satisfactory for you. As the planet starts to awaken, some of you may have had epiphanies the past week and may have thought long and hard about what have I been doing my whole life. Does this sound familiar? It may, because this was a week that I had targeted in my mind that in meditation and prayer, it came to me that people would really start to wake up this past week. So I focused that energy outward and just sent everybody energy and just hoped that if you were confused, if you were lost, if you were not sure, why am I doing what I'm doing day after day with no resolution, slave to the grind? Why aren't things changing? That you had that poof, that mindset, that look, I have the ability to change certain things within me and consequently within my life. And so hopefully that started to happen for some of you this week, because I put it on my calendar. Not that I'd forget the holiday, obviously, but certain days and certain times, I made it a point to just go inward and go into my meditative state and push that energy out, that anybody that felt unsure or questioned themselves or felt sad about wasting so many years of their lives, that that would be taken away from you, that you wouldn't have those feelings of inadequacy or I'm not where I wanted to be at this stage in the game. I hope that you were able to see that up to now, you've been being forged and fine-tuned and given your free will to make the choices that you made so that eventually you would come to the understanding and the realization that this is not all there is to life. We're not of this world, number one, but while we're here, there are many things that are way more important than the stuff we've been spending our time and energy on. And if we're alone, if we're not in a relationship, it's okay. Some of us do not need to be in a relationship right now because we're just not ready. We're not at that level where we can give what we want to get, okay? And we talked about this somewhat last week, but just a reminder, it's okay if you need to be alone right now, because better that than to screw up your life and someone else's. If that sounds really harsh, I'm not here to sugarcoat you guys. I'm here to help you grow and learn and discover and come into your full potential on your own with the protection of Father, Universal Source, whatever you want to call it. It's there and it's there for the taking, and the time is now. This is the year. Ups and downs, highs and lows, all kinds of surprises, things that we hadn't anticipated, things that we hadn't encountered previously. It's a whole new ballgame. It's a whole new playing field this year, and the energies are off the charts. But to some degree, the energies are what we make them and what we make of them, what we do to utilize them, to turn them around, to switch them, to increase them. I felt so much energy this week of people beating themselves up because they didn't fully realize their goals by the deadlines that they had put in place for themselves. And that's actually been a thing for the last several weeks as spring approached. Don't do it. Don't beat yourself up. Stop having worry and anxiety about where you wanted to be and where you don't think you are. Things will happen for you. I promise you, it's a matter of your mindset. We've got mainstream media. We've got the energies from rituals. We've got the energy just from nasty, nasty people that are trying to push down on us and bury us in the sand. Quicksand, mind you. If you're a Gen Xer, you were raised with a fear of quicksand, trust me. And we're going to talk about that later in one of the clips from Gen X Jono, because I love that guy. But this is an all-out attack. You need to listen to me. This is an all-out attack for our health, for our mental well-beings, for our spirits to be quenched, for people to give up. Don't give up. You're doing fine. And I got to admit, while I had kids that were in sports, I was not a cheerleader. I couldn't stand the cheerleaders. But I'm here to be your sense of support and a listening ear should you need it. You can get a hold of me.
My pappy used to say, If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at Maggie_HEART at Outlook.com to get it fixed.
We're all in the same box from the bakery together. Let's just face it. We're a ripple in the pond. Your energy affects mine. Mine affects yours. And it affects the next guy. And the next guy. And the next guy. Ad nauseum. Well, maybe that's not the right choice of words. But you get what I'm trying to say. Screw Forrest Gump. He is a bad guy. That actor, Tom Hanks. And life is not like a box of chocolates. Life's like a box of freaking cannolis. Remember that, folks. I continually have to tell myself this every single day and remind myself of where I need to be, where I want to be, and where I will be. Because the energies are crazy right now with what they're throwing at us. You're not alone. Trust me when I tell you, we have work to do and it's gonna be all right. We gotta stay together. We gotta stick with those close people to us as support units for us. And if you're the guy that's alone and afraid to get involved in a relationship because, oh my God, the world's gonna end tomorrow, stop the stupidity, okay? I'm calling you out. You need to relax, breathe, and find that person that's right for you. They're out there. If you're in a relationship and it works for you, reinforce and strengthen that relationship. Appreciate that person and truly put them on the pedestal that they deserve to be on without them taking advantage of you. But if it's a good relationship, they're not going to do that anyway. And form those bonds. These are the times, I've been telling you this for over a year now, where people are coming together. The twin soul thing, whatever you want to call it, that's not exactly a Christian perspective. But you know what? In prayer and guidance, there is truth in that statement. Man's not meant to be alone. We're supposed to be together as a unit. Women do certain things. Men do certain things. We each do our own individual thing to complement the other half, to fulfill the other half, to become that solid whole. That's what it's all about. The circle. And if you can't stand to look at the person that you wake up to every single morning, then you and you've done your due diligence and you've tried really hard to make it work, then get out of it. Get out of it. And I know that the Bible says if you're married. However, if it's an abusive situation, if it's a toxic situation, God doesn't want you to live that way. If you've done everything and you've done your due diligence in prayer and if you're being abused, no, you need to get out. Physical abuse is never okay. Mental abuse is never okay. And if you've worked hard on trying to fix it and it's still broke, now is the time to break free while you still have time to do so, because the timelines are changing, okay? And you're going to get stuck in these scenarios that you create for yourself. See what you want. Pray on it. Meditate on it. Even if you're not Christian, visualize it happening for you. And do the right thing. Be the good person. Don't just say that you're a good person. Don't just try and fool yourself into thinking that you're a good person. Take responsibility for your own actions. Step up to the plate and hit that ball out of the park. Don't kid yourself into thinking that you're supposed to be that sage up on the mountain that's all by yourself. Very few people are destined to live that lifestyle. And while you may have to have periods of being alone, you're not supposed to be totally alone forever. That's not the way we were created to be. While you are in that state of aloneness, though, work on yourself. Clear your baggage. Get mentally healthy and strong. Work on your energy. How many people out there are doing things like Qigong or natural ways, prayer and meditation, breath work to strengthen your inner core and to be able to focus your energies? We are coming into a time, I've been watching a lot of videos about this, and that's what makes it so synchronicity oriented for me, is when I'm praying on something and I get a vision, it's just like clockwork. All of a sudden, I'm seeing all of these videos pop up that are recommended for me to watch, and I'm put in touch with people that I never, ever would have come in contact with before. These are all synchronicities that are happening. Let me tell you a quick little story. I was researching some videos about energy and healing holistically, which is something that you guys know I'm really, really involved in, and I try and pass along this knowledge to you because this is the wave of the future. This is the way we were created to be. This is the way that we're supposed to be, except the bad guys keep throwing pills down our throats and putting poison on our foods and in our air and in our seeds that we grow for food for our families to keep us sick, to keep us under their thumb. So I was watching a video, and this guy's video pops up, and he's moving wind with his mind. Now, this is something that I've been able to do for a long time, but I've been working on it just like I tell you guys to be practicing it. Whatever I suggest to you, it's because I'm doing it or have done it myself. I don't just say the words. I live the way that I talk to you. I do the things that I suggest that you do. So anyway, he's out and he's in his yard and he's making pinwheels spin and he's taking leaves, dried leaves, and he's forming a funnel with them and sending them up into the sky, and he's making the wind blow or stop at his demand. And we all have the ability to do this. I mean, I can move clouds. I can do lots of things like that with my mind, but I want to get better. And I practice at it a little bit every day. But this guy's calling it magic, but I can tell by the way that he's working that he's using his energy. And while a lot of people will say that, well, Qigong is not of God or whatever, the principle that's there is the principle that's effective. Using your mind and your body's energy and breathing techniques to be able to manifest certain things, whether it be wind, whether it be water, whether it be fire, the elements, doesn't matter. We all have the ability to do that. Jesus did all of that stuff. So this guy wants everybody to join his class, his master class, and he's looking to get paid for it, where he will teach people to work with what he calls magic. But it's not magic. It's not sorcery. What he was trying to do is make his class seem more mysterious, I think, so that more people would purchase his course. So I'm hearing in my head, you need to email him. You need to message him. Message him right now. And so I did. I wanted to get a feel for his energy in that, is he truly a good person, or is he going to lead people down a dark path where they're involved in ritual work and stuff like that to strengthen their God-given abilities, their natural abilities that we're born with? So he instant messages me immediately, and I could feel his energy come in, and I know that he could feel mine. And I could feel a connection there, like, okay, this guy is inherently good, but he's looking to develop his business, maybe not going about it in exactly the right way, but in the course of his learning and his wanting to become better and learn more, he's crossed paths with some people that weren't exactly positive. That was everything that I was getting from him, just in the energy of that initial response that he sent me. And so I told him that I admired his work. He was doing a great job, and I wanted to know more about his courses and what he taught. Now, mind you, I didn't give him anything about my background, who I was, what I did, my experience, none of that. And I just let him talk. And he was very open and friendly and honest and gracious and humble, and all of the things that you would expect to find in a really good person. And the energy was there that indicated the same thing that I was feeling. So we had, I don't know, a 5 or 10 minute conversation. And then he gave me the prices for his classes. And I told him, you know, I can do little things, but I'm not at the level that you are. I appreciate your talent, but I'm not willing or able, I can't remember how I worded it, to take a class at this particular time. But as circumstances change down the road, I would contact him. And you know what? I will contact him. But not necessarily for the reason that he thinks I'm going to contact him. And again, being gracious, he said, well, you know, I'm on TikTok and I don't know if you've watched my videos and that's where you got your practice from. So he was assuming that I'd been watching his videos on the sly and then been practicing. And that's how I was able to do the things that I had done up to date that I mentioned to him in the private message. But you know, and I know, that that wasn't the case at all. So he said to me, well, you know, I have more extensive training videos and shorts on TikTok, and here's how you get a hold of me on TikTok. And I said, well, I'm not on TikTok, but a lot of my friends are, and they keep talking about it. Maybe it's time that I join TikTok. Also, people who were involved with me trying to promote my business have recommended to me for years that I go on TikTok. I'm not really ready for that yet, but he offered, you know, he said there are free resources that I offer there. Just jump on there and you can glean as much information as you can out of the free videos. And then even though you might not think after studying those videos that my masterclass is something that you'd want to do, I assure you that you'll learn even more from my masterclass. Totally friendly guy, thanked me. And then later in the week, he did a live video, so I clicked onto that. I literally felt his breath catch when he was scrolling down on the comments as he was live streaming. And he says, well, let's see who's on here tonight. And he said a bunch of names and he deliberately did not say mine or acknowledge the fact that I was on there at all. And I felt a catch in his throat. And the immediate sense that I got was, he knows I'm here and he thinks I'm checking him out to test him to see if he's legitimate or not. That guy had it was like a lightning bolt of fear when I signed into that chat room. And he got nervous. And I felt that wash over me like a wave. And I had to digest that and stop, close my eyes, take a couple of deep breaths, inhale, and feel what was the reason for him having that physiological reaction that I distinctly felt, as I usually do when I have a connection with a person. And what I got from it was, as amazing as he is, he still has issues with his self-confidence, and he felt my energy. So let me take it a step farther. After we stopped communicating that night, after we stopped messaging each other after that few minutes, and it was very basic. It wasn't anything personal. We weren't hitting on each other, romantic. It was nothing like that at all. It was strictly energy to energy. That's not someone that I would particularly be attracted to. It wasn't like that. It wasn't romantic at all. But after we stopped communicating, dude tested me. It wasn't 5 minutes after I signed off that I could distinctly feel his energy try to come at me. And he was trying to figure me out because he said in the course of our conversation that I can tell that you have, I can't remember if he said intuition or gifts. It's that type of messaging where you record your voice and then send it to the person and they send it back to you. And at first we started off texting and then he switched to that, so I switched to that. And it was good for me because I get even more energy from a person's voice. So I was able to glean more from hearing his voice and the authenticity in it and the earnestness in it and the kindness and the gentleness in it. So he was trying to feel me out. And I think what he was trying to do was he wanted to see if I could feel that he was coming in. And he knew that I would feel it, but I don't think he exactly knew to what degree. So immediately I felt that energy come in and I felt him trying to approach me. And he was curious about how much I would pick up on, I think, and how much I would know. And I shut the door. I shut him down and put my hand out and I said, you are not allowed in my personal space. You are not allowed in my mind. You are not allowed to spy on me. I'm shutting you down. And I just very forcefully and politely did that. And then a couple nights later was when the next night or the night after was when the live stream was. And that's why he had the reaction that he did. He felt that 100%. He felt that. So what he learned from that was, ooh, I can't just sneak in on her and try and figure out what this girl's about because she could feel that. And that's what made him nervous. And I think he was embarrassed by that a little bit. So yeah, I'm going to approach him at a later date, but not necessarily to take his classes, but because I want to pick his brain, because he says that he also works with other healers and he mentioned some Reiki people and energy people and stuff like that. And I want to get a feel for what it is that he's trying to accomplish and see what he uses to train people and see if we're on the same page with that, because that's possibly a resource that I could use down the line to refer to people. But I want to make sure that he is what I think he is, if that makes sense. And if not, just a source of someone, you know, to converse with about the type of energy that he's using. And maybe he's using a little bit of a different technique than I am to get the results that he does. But most specifically, I'd like to help him because I feel like he's kind of a confused soul right now. I feel like he's trying to figure it out. And he doesn't really, as much as he says he does, I don't think he knows what created him, where he came from. I think he's confused on that. And I think he's taken up some practices that aren't good for him or his well-being. And I think I'll be able to help him with that, should he choose. But if nothing else, it's a resource. It's a person that I could talk to and we could bat information back and forth about and see where it goes. And it's funny that I had been praying and meditating on finding somebody like that, that I could compare notes with and do these things with, and boom, there he was. He popped right up in my videos. And I was like told, you need to contact him. You need to message him right now, obviously, because he was online at that moment. And if I'd waited till the next day or the day after and not listened to my intuition, I would have lost the opportunity to speak to him directly per se and hear his voice and feel all of that energy that was coming from what he was throwing out. Also, when he was watching the comments on his video after he recovered himself, he looked right at the camera and he said, you know, I only have guys like in my group that I work with. I only have guy healers and stuff. And he said, we should probably get a woman. I should probably have a woman working with me or a woman on our team, something like that. So he said, if anybody is interested, and he looked right at the camera and he paused a minute and I felt that too. And of course I stayed silent. And then he just kind of waited a second and then totally changed the subject and moved on. So I found that to be extremely interesting as well. It's just another example of people are put into our lives for a reason. And this may simply be a situation where I'm supposed to help him with his spirituality and we can share knowledge. And I'd love to network. If it's somebody that I could send business to or where we promote each other, I'm totally for that. But these are the types of encounters that each one of us has the ability to experience. The synchronicities, listening to your intuition, having that gut twinge, and then feeling a subsequent connection, even if it's only to help someone or to form a professional relationship, to keep us safe from danger. We should all be working on exploring these techniques and practicing them because they're going to help us navigate in future times. All right, let's get into some clippies. The first one I have is the liberals are still trying to off Trump. And I'm over here still wondering how these people are still free and walking around.
A beheaded Donald Trump, are you calling for his death?
I am, yes. I believe it's time that the people straight cut his head off.
I believe that the minute that Donald Trump decided to start ignoring judicial orders, he gave up the right to be the rightful president of the United States. He's an enemy of the nation, and yes, I'd like to see him hung by his feet by a lamppost.
But you wouldn't necessarily call for violence, would you? Are you supporting violence?
I think there's the people in power, that's all they're going to listen to at this point. I feel like we've done the rallies, we've done all these things, and they don't listen, and that was something that finally got people to listen.
Only way we're getting Donald Trump or J.D. Vance or his ilk out of power is having tens of millions of people in the streets. And probably, we're going to probably have to have a few thousand people die at the hands of cops and soldiers before people get outraged enough to actually force the government to resign.
I'm so hurt in my stomach with this.
Oh, Jesus. It sounds like, you're getting a little overreactive to this.
I'm hurt.
Things that we can do for you.
I'm very hurt.
And listen to this creep saying, the empire must fall.
The message for the people of Gaza is going to be more of the message that should be sent to the people here, in that they have achieved victory. We haven't done anywhere near enough. And the people here, I promise you, we do feel ashamed. We do feel like we're not doing enough. We do feel like change needs to come because change must come. And in the form that it must come is that this empire, the American empire that's been hurting our people since the beginning, the imperial Western powers that have been hurting our people since the beginning, they must fall. And inshallah, they will fall. And my message to the people of Gaza and the oppressed peoples across the world is that there are people here, both young and old, who are going to be willing to fight and are willing to put their lives and everything they can on the line to bring these empires down, because they must come down.
Deported. So that was a pro-Palestine activist that was at a fundraiser in Dearborn, Michigan that they held. Why is this able to happen on American soil? And another Tesla encounter. I could do these all day long. These clips are all over the internet.
Keep me warm in your love, then you solve it. And it's me you need to share.
How deep is your doge? Your doge, how deep is your doge?
What's your
f***? And you're black! You know he owned people, right?
So
you know he was a slave owner!
Shut the f*** up!
How dumb are you?
Shut the f*** up!
How deep is your doge? Your doge, how deep is your doge? Did everybody catch the Katy Perry space fiasco this week? How many of you actually think that really happened?
I'm just so excited to keep learning about STEM and astrology and astronomy and pastrami and STEM. I'm just so full of love.
I went to space and I liked it.
So full of love. Space gives me love. I love STEMs. I just hope people understand that we weren't just taking up space, but we were making space and inventing space and holding space. I'm just so full of love that now, because I've gone to space, women can go to space. And
in another life, I'd be an astronaut.
This is just gonna change the space game for women who have never been to space.
Loony, that's it. That's the word I was looking for, loony.
And our good buddy Gavin Newsom wants another $2.8 billion for the California Medicaid program. Because, what, they gave it all to the illegals?
Governor Gavin Newsom says the state short on funds for its Medicaid program known as Medi-Cal. The state expanded the program to cover undocumented immigrants. Governor asked lawmakers to approve another $2.8 billion in loans on top of a $3.4 billion loan issued last week. So California now making up a $6.2 billion shortfall in Medi-Cal funds, the money meant to keep the program properly funded through June.
The realities are the realities. You have to balance budgets. We balance our budget. Revenue's holding up. I don't see anything significant along the lines of what some have asserted. But I do see the need to make adjustments and changes broadly in the Medicaid system.
Meantime, Republicans blaming Democrats for creating financial insecurity with the Medi-Cal program. They say undocumented people should not be covered.
Rather than deport all of the illegals, what they should do is they should offer them a deal where if they hunt down five child predators, then they can get their papers, right? And then we call the program Alien versus Predator.
Oh, bro, you did not have to go that hard, but I'm glad you did.
And multimillionaire Stoopy Goldberg thinks you should pay more in taxes.
Well, you know, a 90-day pause doesn't mean anything to anyone because people are, as you say, struggling with everything
right.
They're living with on a day-to-day basis. Now you know what we're fighting against. But I also believe that it's very important to remind people that now is the time for each and every one of us to suck it up and make sure that we know what we need to take care of. If you're in an area where the school district is losing, then you got to pay a little more taxes and you got to help the schools out. If you're finding that your libraries are falling apart, you have to give more.
There's got to be something around here that I can do that's not going to chip my nails or annoy anybody.
These next two clips are no laughing matter and very serious in nature. Listen to their admission on MMR vaccines and autism, and then RFK's subsequent video stating the statistics of our children developing autism.
in the time machine to August of 2014, that is when Bill Thompson made the admission that the CDC had lied and hid the fact that the MMR vaccine was associated with autism. Talking with Thompson as it unfolded felt like a spy movie. It led me to secretly record phone conversations with Dr. William Thompson, which I did in the state of Oregon because it's illegal to secretly record phone conversations in the state of California. Dr. Thompson freely admitted that he had covered it up, and his associates at the CDC had also covered it up.
Thimerosal causes autism-like features, and that's the way I would say it. I'm completely ashamed of what I did. The higher-ups wanted to do certain things, and I went along with it. Colleen is a center director, Frank is the director of immunization safety, and Marceline's the branch chief. They're still all much more senior than me.
Dr. Julie Gerberding was head of the CDC at the time. Coincidentally, she went on to a lucrative career at Merck, the manufacturer of the MMR vaccine.
I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe we did what we did. But we did.
The ASD prevalence rate in 8-year-olds is now 1 in 31. Shocking. There's an extreme risk for boys. Overall, the risk for boys of getting an autism diagnosis in this country is now 1 in 20. And as high in California, which has the best data collection, so it probably also reflects the national trend, 1 in 12.5 boys. This is part of an unrelenting upward trend. The prevalence 2 years ago was 1 in 36. Since the first ADDM report in 1990, which was 1992 births, autism has increased by a factor of 4.8. That's 480%, I believe.
This not only disgusts me, it makes me so incredibly angry that our beautiful, healthy babies, our children, are being vaccinated with these poisons and these toxins and developing autism and other terrible side effects. This needs to change. And detoxification from the COVID jab? Why would we need detoxification if there's nothing in it that can harm us and it's totally safe and effective?
Detoxification protocol was published in the U.S. medical literature that gives people a chance to take this whole issue into their own hands and use natural substances to begin to help the body clear this very dangerous protein from its cells and tissues. And it involves three natural substances that are available over the counter at any type of online retailer or at a natural food store or pharmacy. And they are nattokinase, which is an enzyme that's derived from the fermentation of soy, bromelain, which is a set of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple. By the way, bromelain is a U.S. FDA-approved drug as a topical treatment for wounds. And then the third is curcumin, derived from turmeric. The doses of nattokinase are 2,000 units twice a day, bromelain 500 milligrams a day, and curcumin 500 milligrams three times a day. The duration in this publication, and I'm the first author, so I'm the one to bring this forward, is at least 3 months. I think for people who have taken multiple shots, 12 months or more.
And since we're on the topic of conspiracy theory type scenarios, listen to Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson's next two clips about EMP strikes.
What would you do if they brought the power grid down? And by they, I mean if the government purposefully brought the power grid down. And I'm not asking that question for fun. I'm asking that question because the World Economic Forum is predicting that a cyber pandemic, you can look this up, been running exercises about it this year, is inevitable. You're probably saying, what is a cyber pandemic? It doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, what are we even talking about? Well, first and foremost, the reason I'm even paying attention to the World Economic Forum and their exercises is because they notoriously, in 2019, ran an exercise for a coronavirus pandemic that oddly all became true. I mean, without one slight difference, they said that the coronavirus was going to escape from a wet market in South America. Of course, when the coronavirus swept the nation, swept the world in 2020, they said that it escaped from a wet market in China. You can still look that up, by the way. That's not a conspiracy theory. They simulated that coronavirus pandemic. It was the World Economic Forum in collaboration with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in collaboration with Johns Hopkins University. And the website is still up, and they say, you know, the coronavirus pandemic is inevitable. And then, boom, it happened the very next year. So people say it's a conspiracy theory to believe that they knew that the coronavirus pandemic was going to happen. You don't have to believe it was a conspiracy theory, or you can believe it wasn't a conspiracy theory. It's up to you. I don't really care. The point is that they made the prediction, they called it inevitable, and then it happened immediately. So for me personally, that signals to me that
What could possibly be the motive for not defending yourself in a sensible way from an EMP attack? Like, I don't get that at all.
Support from the electrical industry.
Oh, really?
And I should say that the EMP committee, their estimate was 8 to 9 out of every 10 Americans could lose their life by the end of the first year. 500,000 people in the air at any given time on 1,000 flights, right? So that's lost.
Everyone on an airplane does.
Right. So that's 500,000 people at any moment. Very quickly after that, the SCADA systems begin to fail, and you have fire, you have flood. Within 72 hours, you have meltdown at all nuclear facilities. Refrigeration has gone out at supermarkets and at the regional food warehouses. So the food supply ends. You know, there's no access to ATMs or money or financial structure of any type. No access to your prescription medications. You know, no access to law enforcement, and no clean water and no food.
So the threats to the grid and to the lives of 350 million Americans are completely real and in some sense imminent. Like, we know this is going to happen
right
at some point.
When you're in the dark and you want to see, you need
electricity.
Hey, who turned out the lights?
And how about the fiasco this week with Democratic Senator from Maryland, Chris Von Hollen's trip to El Salvador to try to get Kilmer Abrego Garcias released? This is a criminal. What about Rachel Morin, who was murdered in Maryland by an illegal alien? Listen to these three clips, two by the jerk and one by Tom Homan.
I saw the comments of President Bukele, and I look forward to meeting with him. I've requested to meet with him. I reached out to the ambassador here to ask to meet while he's here. But I've also made clear, if we can't meet here, I do intend to go to El Salvador to discuss the release of this individual who is illegally detained, a Maryland man who's the father of three in a notorious prison in El Salvador. And I believe the president of El Salvador will recognize why it's important to allow him to return to the United States of America, because it is absolutely unjust and illegal to have this Marylander detained one more day in a notorious prison in El Salvador. Of course, President Trump could have just said, you know, bring him home. Of course he could have done that. But this is an administration that has lied about Mr. Abrego Garcia, right? The vice president of the United States tweeted out that he had a criminal record. That was a lie. They're just lying. They've gotten caught lying. They don't want to admit it. And they have an obligation to bring him home. But I will say the president of El Salvador should not now take it upon himself to say that he is detaining him for one more day, because that is kidnapping. I understand that the Attorney General said that we would provide a plane to bring him home. So all the president of El Salvador has to do now is hand over and release an innocent man and let him come home to his family.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Tom, how do you respond to these Democratic lawmakers, including Van Hollen, who say they're going to now ask for a meeting with the president there in El Salvador? They're going to travel there and demand his release.
Well, good luck with that. Colonel Evans is exactly right. Every time I read a story about this, it's Maryland father. They don't mention he's a member of MS-13, who is a designated terrorist group, one of the most violent gangs in the world. They don't mention he's an MS-13 member. They don't mention he's an El Salvadorian citizen being held by the country of El Salvador. El Salvador makes that decision. Now, the court said we got to facilitate. We'll facilitate, but El Salvador has full authority on this. Again, a terrorist threat. Now, if somehow he comes back and that happens, he's going to be detained and removed again. He's an MS-13 gang member based on our intelligence and El Salvador's intelligence. He will be detained and he will be deported. But what's the sense of bringing someone back that's simply going to face deportation again? He's a public safety threat. He's a gang member. And he's a designated terrorist. We should not be bringing any of those people back to the United States. That's my opinion.
So I asked the vice president if I could meet with Mr. Abrego Garcia. And he said, well, you need to make earlier provisions to go visit CECOT. I said, I'm not interested at this moment in taking a tour of CECOT. I just want to meet with Mr. Abrego Garcia. He said he was not able to make that happen. I asked, he said he needed a little more time. I asked him if I came back next week, whether I'd be able to see Mr. Abrego Garcia. He said he couldn't promise that either. So I asked him if I could get on the phone, either a video phone or just a phone, and talk to Mr. Abrego Garcia. So I could just ask him how he's doing so I could report back to his family. He said he could not arrange that. He said maybe if the American embassy were to ask, maybe that could happen. So I will certainly ask the American embassy to ask the government of El Salvador to connect us by phone. I asked him, how about his family? How can he talk to his wife so that she can hear his voice? I let him know that the family has requested that. He said he was not sure whether he could make that happen.
People are laughing at us all over the world. They think we're stupid, and we are. I mean, we're being led by stupid people. We're being led by people that don't have a clue. They're incompetent.
That joker also voted against the Lincoln-Riley Act. And oh, he asked about the criminal being able to talk to his wife. Would that be the same one that filed charges against him? He used taxpayer dollars, committed an illegal act because he was trying to make his own foreign policy. Plus, he went against Trump's orders. So, and isn't helping an illegal alien some form of aiding and abetting, maybe? I pray and I ask you all to pray and send out energy to the families of the victims like Rachel Morin and also the families of the victims from this week's tragedy at FSU. Also, Kayla Hamilton, who was also brutally murdered in Maryland by an illegal that Joe Biden turned loose. In my opinion, Van Hollen should have been denied reentry into our country. And that's the best case scenario I can think of for him. Sounds like there's still some more rats in the woodpile. Let's listen to this.
Hey guys, Jeremy Harrell here, LFA TV. I don't know if you heard this, but over the weekend, it was reported that Kash Patel, the new director of the FBI, he wants his own private third-party security team, who is primarily the ones responsible for keeping him safe, because he doesn't trust the security detail that is legally afforded to him from the Federal Bureau of Investigations. So I know there's a lot of people out there mad that Pam Bondi and Kash Patel didn't just hit the ground running with indictments and arrests, but I can tell you with 100% surety that they are working on these things. Be a little patient. It's been 7 weeks. Be patient. Let them get this stuff figured out. Because as of right now, Kash Patel can't even do his job properly because he's afraid of being assassinated from within the bureau that he is appointed and confirmed to be the leader of. That's how bad it is. That was his first statement that he put out this weekend, that the leader of the FBI needs his own private security detail because he doesn't trust the upper echelon in the FBI and the people that are protecting him that he's got the legal right to have as the director of the FBI, he doesn't trust them to keep him safe, or he doesn't trust them personally that they wouldn't take his own life. The second request that he had is he wants a direct line to President Trump. Now, typically, the FBI director goes, there's a chain of command, and the FBI director is not legally, but traditionally, there's some space between the FBI director and the president. So there's no weaponization of government by the administration. But Kash Patel says, it's not that I don't trust Pam Bondi. It's that I don't trust the FBI and the DOJ as a whole. I want a direct, secure line, not a line that is going to be monitored or controlled or leaked out to anybody for anything. I want my own secure line that only me and the president of the United States have access to. Because I need to be able to get information to the president without having anything interfere with that information. And he does not trust the people within the DOJ and the FBI to not sabotage that message that might be pertinent information that the president needs to take action on something. So that's how deep it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so JFK was an inside job. There could be a lot of truth to this. If that's the case, then I will recant my statements last week about Pam Bondi talking smack and getting nothing done. But we'll have to wait and see how this plays out. And as far as his protection goes, I say bring the guy some veterans to take care of him. Bugs Bunny's not going to be happy about the next story.
And once you know this, you can't unknow it. A lot of these plants we eat, like carrot, people think are food. They're not food. The orange carrot was created at the turn of the 18th century, and we act like they've been around since the turn of time.
This is a wild carrot, also known as Queen Anne's lace. They're far from the sweet and tender carrots we're used to. Through selective breeding practices that began in the 18th century, agronomists transformed these wild roots into the big orange carrots we see today.
What most people don't know is that Queen Anne's lace, the root itself, was used as a morning after pill. It is so toxic, it will abort a fetus. And yes, it's not as toxic now that we've bred the poison out of them, but this is the root, and we're feeding them to our kids, and it's gotta stop. I don't want to see babies eating herbs that are able to abort a fetus. That is what Queen Anne's lace looks like, and this is what we've created today. This is the clown food. Do you guys see it? You see how it looks like it should be in a circus?
I don't think so. Homie, don't play that.
It's Gen X time, with a clip in the middle from Lindsay Charmaine O. Did you see what I did there? You will. I made a Gen X Jono sandwich.
So I had a follower reach out to me through direct message and reminded me of something that I hadn't thought about in years. And that is the simple way that we sometimes would play. Now, that's not to say that as kids we didn't want things. Of course we wanted things. I would have killed for a green machine. But even when we didn't get our hands on the things that we wanted, we found ways, simple ways, to play, to entertain ourselves. Things like taking a dandelion and singing My Mama Had a Baby and Its Head Popped Off as we flung the top of the dandelion through the air, or after it turned fuzzy to make a wish as we blew on the dandelion fuzz, skipping stones at a lake. I would literally spend hours at the lake, at ponds, just skipping stones. Pretending to drink out of buttercups is something girls would do, although recently I found out that buttercups are highly toxic to people and animals, so maybe that's something we don't do anymore. But my point is this, it didn't take much to entertain us, to make us happy, to allow us to entertain ourselves. And I truly hope kids are still playing that way today. But if they're not, then I just wanted to say that I'm thankful that we can at least share these memories together and smile as we think back on them.
Let me ask him, did you bite your cousin?
Is that Aunt Vicky?
Yes. Now, did you bite your cousin?
Tell her yes, but I had a good reason.
You had a good reason to bite your cousin.
I was a shark.
You were a shark?
Yeah, we were all playing sharks in the pool. I was a shark. He was a surfer. He surfed over top of me, and I bit
him. You ripped his life jacket off.
I was a shark.
I can't swim, Derek.
Okay, and?
You could have drowned.
It was close. I almost had
it. You think that's okay?
As a human being, absolutely not. That's dangerous.
Right, so
but as a shark, it's kind of what I was looking for.
You did this on purpose.
I was a great white.
You said when you finally let him get back to the surface of the water, Adam pulled him back down?
I was a hammerhead shark.
The boy is 5 years old.
Sharks don't care about age.
You could have hurt him.
Oh, I tried. But he got away.
What is wrong with you guys?
Nothing is wrong with us.
Then why didn't you get your aunt when your cousin was crying?
How?
Walk in the house.
We're sharks.
Your cousin was crying.
Because we attacked him.
Why would you?
Because we were sharks. See, if you watched Jaws, you would understand what we were
doing.
No,
I want to know why no one went inside and got Vicky.
And do what?
Say, Aunt Vicky.
Sharks can't talk.
This is crazy.
I'm dead serious.
So this video is for my younger followers. Those that were born in the 2000s and not in the, 1900s? I just had some questions regarding relatability in our childhoods. So if you could answer these questions in the comments, it would be totally awesome. Number one, did you have an unnatural fear of the water? Like things in the water? Piranha? Sharks? Did you hear this music playing over and over again in your head as you were swimming in the ocean? The lake? Even the pool for some reason. Number two, do you know what the Bermuda Triangle is? Have you ever heard of it? Wondered if maybe you were flying over it when you were going, well, just about anywhere. Number three, did you think that at any moment you or someone around you could simply spontaneously combust, leaving nothing but a neatly formed pile of ashes? I mean, going up in flames so quickly that stop, drop, and roll would be completely useless. Number four, quicksand. If you're wandering around in the woods, playing as kids did, were you ever concerned that at any point, at any moment, you could fall into a patch? An unescapable swamp filled with quicksand? And then finally, how old were you when you were first entrusted with the care of another child? With the health and welfare of another little person, like a child? Were you still a kid when you were responsible for other kids?
That was a little clip from my good buddy Pat Carr's song, NOLA Blues. I haven't been showing Pat enough love lately because I haven't been playing many musical clips, but I play his music at every entry and exit for the Positude Podcast. You can reach him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. He's on SoundClick, he's on Reverb Nation, he's on YouTube. He is all over the place, so please check out his music. Tell him Maggie sent you and support him. He's a great guy.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on. Bless their hearts. And yours, too.
I'm going to tell you two hacks on how to remember anything you want to remember and how to heal or balance any part of your body. I got these hacks from a declassified CIA document. They are stupidly simple, and they've worked for me. Okay, here's the first one. To remember anything from your lived experience, all you need to do is take the fingers on your right hand, close your eyes, and gently touch the fingers to your forehead, and will remember anything you want to remember. And then to heal or balance any part of your body, you are going to close your eyes, inhale, hold it for a moment. Last time I said hold it for a minute. I didn't mean a minute. I didn't mean like a full minute, just a moment. So close your eyes, inhale, hold it for a moment, and then picture the calming, healing energy of the color purple, and picture that flowing to the part of your body that needs healing or balance, and in your mind, with your eyes shut, say, heal, balance, and then exhale and open your eyes. I just did this on my elbow and it worked, so.
All right, that was Chelsea Explains, and I gotta check out those CIA documents. I hope you all have a blessed week. I'm gonna go grab some more coffee. Thank you all of my little cannolis, for listening this week. We'll catch you here, same time, same station, next week. Stay fresh, stay strong, and stay positive. Good night, everybody.